Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and I am here to help you move forward, whether you're an achiever, business owner, a leader, a mover, shaker. The goal here with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show is to move you forward, and that is the Italian word for Avanti. Avanti means move forward. And speaking of Italian, I have a great Irish guest today. Just kidding. I have a great Italian guest on the show today, Paul, otherwise known as Pauli Guglielmo. And if you're really going to say it in Italian, we're going to say Guglielmo. So Pauli, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me. It's a true honor. I'm really, really, really excited to be here.
Thank you. I am excited to have you on the show. You know, so I'm more of a newer radio show host. I'm doing a podcast for about a year, but we're going to really talk about your company. You have an incredible sauce company that we're going to really talk about. But I'm going to read your bio here, and people are going to know you another way as well. So Pauli this is great. This is so exciting. So you're kind of a Renaissance guy, right?
I guess. What do they say? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, you're good at two things, right? So, at least. So Pauli is a local radio show personality, best known for his role as sidekick producer of The Brother Wee Show on Rochester's Radio 95.1. He can also be heard on other radio stations such as WHAM, KISS 106.7, Fox Sports 1280, and Syracuse's Hot 107.9, doing various DJ, production, sports, and weather reports. Well, he's not behind the microphone. Paul is making sauce. He's making the sauce. Growing up in an American-Italian household, Pauli's family was very important to him, along with the traditions of having Sunday sauce with the family. Pauli learned from his grandfather how to make the sauce and continued the tradition into his own home, where he still makes sauce for his family every Sunday. In August of 2014, Paul decided to take his sauce habit to the public and began marketing his sauce at various local grocery stores. The business quickly grew as Guglielmo added flavors to his line of pasta sauces and added retail stores who would carry it, as well as establishments that will serve it. Today, Guglielmo sauce is in nearly 300 stores regionally in the Northeast U.S. and is served to students daily at the University of Rochester. How cool is that? And the Rochester Institute of Technology, as well as various restaurants in the Rochester, New York area. Paul lives in Brighton with his wife, Ryan, and their two dogs. Paul, that's a passionate biography, true to your Italian heritage. You're really squeezing the juice out of life. I love it.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, busy. It's a busy life, but it's a fun life. Every once in a while, I stop, I look around, and I'm like, holy cow, this is actually happening, you know? I mean, on both sides of the coin, the radio thing and the sauce thing, both sides of the coin. Once in a while, I just have to stop and kind of close my eyes and be like, yeah, oh my God, it's happening.
And then it's back to making the sauce.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you can't close your eyes too long. You got to be somewhere.
Stop and smell the sauce, right? But then get back to work. So Paul, it's kind of cool. You know, we met last week. We did a panel for Rochester Young Professionals, and I met you for the first time. I had met you before, or I heard about you before, I should say, because Mary Jones, who's the executive director of the local Make-A-Wish chapter, I'm on the board there. She talks about you, and she's been saying for years, I have to meet you. Finally, I met you. We hit it off. I feel like we're cousins and I should be invited over for Sunday sauce, which I'll gladly accept.
We're all cousins. Believe me, we're all cousins. And Dave, I might be able to actually give you the creepiest moment in the history of this podcast right now.
Really?
If you're interested.
What's going on?
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. You mentioned Mary Jones.
Guess what?
I'm sitting in a position right now where I can see her house.
Oh my goodness. Does she know that?
So it sounds worse than it is. She's actually, we live in the same neighborhood. She lives about like four houses down and sort of around the corner. And I'm sitting in my office at our home right now looking, and there's a window in front of me and I can see the roof of her house. So it sounds creepy, but it's absolutely true. The woman you just mentioned, I'm sitting outside of her house right now.
Apparently you have a special view. Maybe, you know, we'll have to, I'll have to come over and take a look with you sometime because Mary's, she's pretty. security. So now this is totally creepy. Now Mary's always going to have the blinds closed now, I guess.
I think so. Creepiest moment. I think we hold the title.
Excellent. Excellent. And that says a lot considering you're on the Wii show. So
you're right. There'll be a few more. Don't worry.
So, you know, speaking of radio, I'm reading your bio here and I've got, not creepy, but I have some cool, kind of history. So when I got out of college way back in 1991, my first job was in radio sales. Mm-hmm. And I worked at a station called Wish 95.1. And wow. And so I sold ads and went in. So Wish 95 at the time, it was the number 11 station out of 10. And we we not only played Barry Manilow and Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond, we played the instrumentals, right? So people would turn on Wish 95 like when they couldn't fall asleep and just really needed to cure their insomnia. So that's the station I worked for. I got $150 a week as a draw, which means you have to pay it back before you get commission. Yeah. Needless to say, I lived at home for a while. And then I moved on. So then they changed it to Rocket 95, and then it became The Nerve. And then Brother Weeze came over from 96.5. So great history with 95.1. And then you also mentioned Kiss 106.7.
Yep.
So when that station went on the air, it used to be called Max, WMAX. And I worked at that station too. So I sold ads there as well.
What was the company?
The company that owned 106.7 back then, Max, it was a local guy. It was a family company. Actually, they were out of Auburn, New York. His name is Minturn Osborne. So it was like Osborne Broadcasting or something. And they started it out of the blue, and they got it going, and they sold it. My friend, good friend Alan Bishop, was the GM, and he actually was a station manager at Wish 95 as well. And now he owns the Finger Lakes Radio Group. He's still in radio.
Oh wow!
And so then I after WMAX, I went to go work for 98.9, which was WKLX at the time. It was the oldie station. I sold ads for 3 years at three different stations. Finally realized I was not that good at it, and just started my own company in 1995.
I'm glad it led you that way. But I mean, you know, that's a great little history right there, because I can speak from like the mid 2000s on, but that's cool to hear the origins of a couple of those stations. Because you're right, I work at literally like two of those same stations that you worked at. I work at now. That's crazy.
Right, we were meant to meet.
Yeah,
so.
I think so.
And it's been interesting. I mean, I'm born and bred in Rochester. I mean, I remember when we went on the air, back in the early 80s at CMF, and what a legend. And this guy, I mean, how many years later, he's still broadcasting every morning, right?
I think he's been on the air for 35 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've met Weeze many times. I mean, he probably has met so many people that who knows if he would remember me. He pretends to when he sees me, so I'll give him credit for that. But
he's mastered that art, you know, I mean. He has, of course, over the years. He's met so many people, and there's a lot of people who remember him that he maybe doesn't remember. And that's, to be honest, that's not his fault. It's just he's meeting so many people, and he's really, really good at, like, pretending he knows who someone is. Oh, you know, like, I've seen him do it a million times. I can tell the difference at this point between when he knows someone and doesn't, but he's good at it. I'm like, that's a great skill.
Maybe it depends how passionately he says brah when he sees you. Like, it's right, a level. Right. Like, he doesn't know him that well. Oh, he knows him well, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Paul, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we will be right back.
Automotive, travel, finance, home repairs, fine living, and more. It's Lifestyle Weekends on 1310 WOKR.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Your one-stop shop for all your family's Halloween needs. But can you get an outfit out of the costume Nazi? I don't think so. The spirit said, you gotta give him a good reason. What could you be from an Army-Navy store? Drill instructor, ranger, marine commando, special ops operator, pilot, zombie Amelia Earhart, bandito, the other guy, border guard, get it? Tanker, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil, sailor, flight suit, prisoner, Leatherface, Top Gun, Goose and Maverick, Dead Goose. Yeah, I said that. Post-apocalyptic family, Big Boss, Metal Gear, Dictator, we have the cigars for it. Guyer, Street Fighter, Iron Mike's, MX.com, The Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube, See our Halloween video at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Bonte Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato. I am here with Pauly Guglielmo, or you may know him as Paul Guglielmo. He has, so we talked about what he's doing these days, and he's doing two really great things in addition to being a great husband to Ryan. So he has he's a local radio show personality on with Brother Wee's and some other stations as well. But really, we're here to talk today about his company. He's got a great, great company called Guglielmo Sauce, and so he makes and it's his grandfather's recipe, and the company now is making so much sauce. They're in 300 stores. They're served at U of R, RIT, various restaurants. I'm getting hungry, and you know it's funny when I met you, Paul, last week. You looked at me and you said, "Oh, you're Mamano. Yeah, you probably." Don't eat jarred sauce.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, we would look at buying Prego and Ragu is, you know, pretty close to a mortal sin. But
yeah.
I want to try your sauce. I'm interested. So I think I'm going to give it a shot.
Well, thank you. I would appreciate that. Look, as I mentioned, you're Italian. And when I see an Italian, I say, okay, there's someone who definitely doesn't buy our sauce. But then I look at myself and I go, hey, man. You weren't buying jarred sauce a few years ago either. So how are you going to blame any of these Italians for not buying it? I was totally unfamiliar with the category of jarred sauce when we started. I knew it only the way you did. I knew homemade sauce. That was all.
Yep. Well, but, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, Rochester has a pretty incredible past with jarred sauce, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The birthplace of Ragu, arguably the most popular sauce brand ever to exist.
Yep. I had family members back in the day that worked there at their main factory on Lyle Avenue. And mm-hmm. And then, you know, so that company was sold and then a new company was started, and now, which really has morphed into La Destri, which is, you know, I think they're the number one producer or processor of tomatoes in the country or something like that.
They are, yeah. They've got a few different plants. They're based at this point in Fairport. They have a little spot out in the city as well, sort of like the city/Greece limits. Mm. But a fun fact, back to that Lyle Avenue, the original home of Canisano Foods, 1686 Lyle Avenue now houses a place called Private Label Foods, run by the Lavorato family. And that's actually where my sauce is made today. The old Ragu plant, which is really kind of an exciting thing to say.
Wow! Wow!
So
maybe the spirit of Mr. Canasanto is helping you.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, God, that would be amazing. If he's up
okay.
there listening.
He did okay.
Please.
So that is really incredible. So just I love the beginnings of how businesses began. So tell me, so you know, you were on the were you doing the show, and then you just said I also want to start a company on the side here?
Yeah, I was doing radio, waking up every morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's exactly what happened. I was kind of coming home, to be honest with you. I was a little bit lost in life. Mm-hmm. I was coming home after work, and I was getting home early in the day because early mornings, the advantage to that is I'm home at like noon.
Yeah.
So I was coming home, and I was finding myself pretty lazy. You know, I tried getting into working out a couple of times, but I don't know if you've ever noticed, but like running sucks. It's not fun. I could never really get into that. And then, you know, I just found myself sitting around a lot on TV. But I also had this feeling inside of me like, there's probably a little bit more. Like, there's probably more. I'm probably capable of more.
Yeah.
What could I do? And so I just ran around with this what could I do thought and was lost with that for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And eventually it was as if I had accidentally found a path through the woods when I finally came to the idea of this sauce, because it's married so many different, you know, parts of my life. It just sort of married them all together and mm-hmm. put me in a position where, oh, geez, my dog's barking. I'm sorry. Just sort of put me in a position where I eventually said to myself, I went, wow, this is the right move. This is the call right here. This is where I should be. This is what I should be doing.
It just hit you. It was like your calling.
Yeah, I felt like it was my calling. I felt like it combined all the different parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it was still important to be a radio guy after we launched the business, because I was, you know, I was promoting it. I had this platform that was fantastic and gave us a great head start. And so,
yep.
you know, you take that and combine it with my passion for the sauce. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, I'm in a unique position here.
Yep. So tell me how it all started. I mean, did you call your grandpa up and say, hey, can you literally... you know, they say the secret sauce, right? Can you share the secret sauce recipe with me?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I called him and I said, now he had never made it a secret, you know, prior. I mean, he was always happy to teach me. And in fact, I had learned how to make the sauce from him prior to ever even thinking about making it a business. When I started learning from him when I was a teenager. So when it became time to make it into a business, really what I had to do was figure out how to do that legally. So I just really started Googling around a little bit, and I found a place called the Food Venture Center, located in Geneva, New York,
mm-hmm.
affiliated with Cornell University. And I found that their specialty is, it's basically a bunch of students working on their master's degrees in food science,
mm-hmm.
but their specialty is teaching people how to take home recipes and turn them into commercial recipes.
Hmm.
So I had my grandpa's recipe. Now, I still wanted to make sure I was truly nailing it, and I wanted to get the measurements right.
Hmm.
So what I did is I went to my grandpa's house something like 4 Sundays in a row with a little tiny scale, and I had my grandpa put whatever ingredients he was using on the scale before he put it in the pot, and I was taking these measurements, and of course, like a true grandfather, or like a true Italian, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, every week they're just a tiny bit off from the previous week.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Never the same, right?
Never the same. So I'm sitting here going, even one week he throws in like yellow pepper. I'm like, where's yellow pepper? Where's this thing? Yellow. He goes, bro. He says, you know, Paul, I use what I have.
I had it. I had it laying around the house. Let me use it.
Yeah,
right?
I had it. So we're using it. So that was, you know, so that was that. So then combined with getting the recipe from my grandpa and really truly honing it into what ingredients are we using, I averaged out those 4 weeks. Then I went to Cornell and gave them a sample, and they help you create something called a scheduled process,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a legal way of saying recipe. Scheduled process just means recipe that has been approved by the Department of Agriculture to be bottled. And we were off. At that point, I had this approved recipe, and I had, you know, I was ready to go bottle it. Just had to figure out how to do that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So how'd you figure that out? I mean, it's a lot of steps along the way, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it is an entrepreneur podcast. So I'll tell you from a business standpoint, basically at that point I had a decision to make. I either had to become a manufacturer, mm-hmm. meaning I was going to have to invest in some equipment and start making pasta sauce.
Yep.
Because you can't just make – you can't do something like that at home. You have to do that in an approved facility that a health inspector can walk into and give the stamp of approval to, and they're just not going to do that in a home kitchen.
Right.
So I had to decide whether I was going to be a manufacturer or something else. And basically from at that point early on, I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I want to try and do it. I want to really try and make a business out of this thing. So I knew I could do one job really well. Now, any true entrepreneur, as you know, I got to do every job. I might own the thing, but I'm also the janitor and the accountant. You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. every job. But I knew that if I was manufacturing sauce all day, if I was truly making sauce all day, that's less time I could spend on the streets. I knew if this thing had any shot of being successful, I was going to have to be the salesperson. Right. I was going to have to be the guy who was going to go out and sell it. Yep. And making the sauce, actually physically making the sauce, would hinder my ability to do that. So.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't seen Giovanni Ledestri with any wooden spoons in his factory stirring all day. So yeah, I get you.
Yeah, right. So I knew, and you mentioned Ledestri, and we already mentioned places like Private Label Foods. So I found out that there are, of course, factories that will make your product for you. They will do it to your specifications. They're called co-packers or contract packaging, mm-hmm. Contract packers, and you can go to them and sign confidentiality and, you know, put a bunch of paperwork in place that basically makes it okay for you to give them your recipe yeah. and for them to help you scale it up and create it. And so what you are going to eventually do is essentially bring on this factory, this co-packer, what I've done, and they're going to be able to nail your recipe. That very first time is tough because you're in there and you're really honing it in and making it right and yeah. scaling it up, which is the hard part.
Yeah.
But once they've done that, I can call them to this day. I can just call them, put in a purchase order, and say, I need 500 gallons. And 2 weeks later, I'll have 500 gallons. And so it really just frees me up to be the one out in the streets selling it, which is the most important part.
So that's what you spend a lot of your time doing, is going to these restaurants and colleges and stores and just trying to get it carried.
Yeah, especially at the beginning. At the beginning, we're in, you know, I mean, on day one, we're in zero stores. So
yep.
on day one, it was just a lot of me driving around Rochester with sauce in my car, walking into stores, handing the owner or whoever was the decision maker a jar and saying, will you please try this?
Yeah.
And I'll follow up in a week. And man, I'll tell you what, Dave, like that was...
That's tough. Whew, right?
That was brutal. That was cold calling, but like face to face. And I dealt with every type of response from the most positive. There were some great people who yeah. saw, you know, they saw a kid and they saw a kid who was trying and they were ready to, you know, they were ready to say, yeah, I'll give you a chance. You know, I'm a fan of a local small business. And then I would get everything from the grocery managers who were just miserable to me.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Hey kid, we got enough pasta sauce. The last thing we need is another sauce.
Beat it, kid.
You know?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beat it. Exactly. I've been told to beat it so many times. It's crazy.
Right. That's part of sales though. That's part of sales. I know.
Yeah.
But especially in that beginning, it's like you wouldn't trade it because what an experience that shaped you, but man, going through it, there's no doubt. It's you know, it's a roller coaster ride because some calls go great and you're on top of the world. And some calls you're like, all right, I think I'm done for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, the thing is, I stumbled upon some sales tactics on accident that mm-hmm. I thought I created. And then I would mention, I'd be like, oh, no, of course, someone else thought of this already. But
yeah, like what?
Little things like there was a grocery store in town, which I won't name because they were pretty mean to me the first time I went in. But the guy here in Rochester, first time I went in, the guy really made it a point to make me realize that I was way out of my league.
Yeah.
My sauce was too expensive. There were too many sauces that already existed, and I should get lost and never bother him again. Okay. I mean, he made it very clear to me.
Right. Sweet guy.
Yeah. And so what I did was I actually went home and I printed off just a little like sales report of any sauce that we were selling within a 10-mile radius of his store.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out we were selling a lot, you know, within a 10-mile radius of his store. We were doing okay. And so basically I took that and I went back in and I said, listen, I know you told me to get lost, but I just want to show you this. This is a 10-mile radius of this store, and this is how much we've sold in the last 2 weeks just within a 10-mile radius of this store.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to let you know, if you're worried about it moving, then this is a little bit of proof that it will.
Yeah.
And then I also stumbled upon saying I guaranteed it to him, too. I said, if I'm only going to give him 12 jars of sauce, so it's not going to break me if I have to take that back. So I told him, let me put these 12 jars on the shelf, and if it doesn't work out, I will buy these back at retail price. So you still make money on them.
Right.
So a couple of tactics there that I sort of stumbled upon.
That's good. I like it. Take the puppy, take the puppy home, or I'll buy it back, right? So.
Pretty much. And you know what that guy did? He still said no.
But, oh, my God. Are you serious? You guaranteed sales, but he still said no.
You know what he did? Just because he was just he was a curmudgeon. He was an old guy who wasn't going to let some kid come in and, like, best him. So what
jealous.
He did is he said no.
Jealous.
And then he called my distributor, and he ordered it through them.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. Because at the time, I was, you know, just trying to sell to him directly. I was just like, oh, I'll drop it off myself, you know?
Right, right. So why did he do that? Just to stick it to you a little bit more?
I think there was just no way he was looking at me and saying, yes, we'll take it. I think it was just out of the question.
Right, right. But you made the sale.
I did. That was a tough one. That was that one. I still remember that one to this day.
Still in that store?
Yeah, we're still in that store, and we still go in through the distributor in that store. And I wish I could name them because they're a relatively well-known store in Rochester, but I hate that I would have said negative things.
No, you're a good man. We'll let that one slide.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first call, like your first sales call?
Yeah, absolutely I do. It was actually and this is where radio has been so huge, but so I had talked on the radio a little bit about how I was spending every afternoon building this business and that we were going to launch in August. And so for a few months leading up until August, I had mentioned that we were going to launch. And so this is where I was at a huge advantage. And, you know, some people hate me for the advantage. Some people are like, hey, you got to take advantage of your advantages, right?
Well, of course, yeah.
So I got a phone call from a guy named Woody, who owned a little place called the Gorham Market down in Gorham, New York. Small town, small grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said to me, he goes, when that sauce is ready, I will put it on my shelf.
Beautiful.
And I drove to Gorham, and it's far, by the way. It's like Canandaigua plus like 15 more minutes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a camp drove, Gorham, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I drove down there, and I took a picture next to the shelf he said it was going to be on. I took pictures with him, and I didn't want to leave his store. I was just so excited that we had our our first shelf space ever.
Yeah,
you know. But you know, I had mentioned that I was trying to build the business in those months. I actually got a job bartending at Rubino's in Webster. I was bartending, so I bartended once a week for about a year in order to earn the money to start the business.
Right.
So that was actually my
Rubino's.
Sort of my,
so Rubino's like Italian store.
Yeah, the Rubino's, like Italian Subs in Irondequoit, that's like the original Rubino's. Well, there's a couple other ones, and there's one in Webster owned by a guy named Mark Vinci. And he let me bartend there just once a week.
Right.
They were a sports bar at the time.
I didn't realize they had a bar. Wow, cool.
They don't anymore. They did for a very short period of time. Mm. But they got actually purchased by the Charlie Fitzsimmons Group.
Okay.
So if you've been following the news at all, in Webster, Charlie Fitzsimmons bought a bunch of property. So they got purchased by them, and that's why they had to do away with their bar because they had to downsize. But anyway, so Mark Vinci and Rubino's in Webster, that was the first shelf the sauce ever actually appeared on.
How cool. So you got your picture with them. You probably will cherish that forever, right?
Oh, yeah. I got pictures of every single employee, every single customer in there.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of regulars in there, too. And I called them my investors because all their tip money went into starting the business.
Right. How cool. Yeah. Hey, Paul, you know what? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Your one-stop shop for all your family's Halloween needs. But can you get an outfit out of the costume Nazi? I don't think so. The Spirit said, you gotta give him a good reason. What could you be from an Army-Navy store? Drill instructor, ranger, marine commando, special ops operator, pilot, zombie Amelia Earhart, bandito, the other guy, border guard. Get it? Tanker, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil, Sailor, Flight Suit, Prisoner, Leatherface, Top Gun, Goose and Maverick, Dead Goose. Yeah, I said that. Post-apocalyptic family, Big Boss, Metal Gear, Dictator, we have the cigars for it. Guyer, Street Fighter, Iron Mike's, MX.com, The Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube. See our Halloween video at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
The Home Depot presents this Sports Flash powered by SB Nation Radio on 1310 WOKR. Hockey yesterday, the Buffalo Sabres lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-1. Buffalo is now 3-6-2 on the season. Meanwhile, NBA, the Brooklyn Nets take care of the Cleveland Cavaliers 112-107. Buffalo Bills have been awarded a claim for cornerback Lafayette Pitts, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And World Series yesterday, the Astros topped the Los Angeles Dodgers 7-6 in epic fashion. 11th inning it took. Houston was down at multiple points of the game. Then they take the lead in the 10th. Dodgers tie it. Houston grabbed the lead in the 11th, and they win the game. Series goes back to Houston tomorrow. More saving, more doing at the Home Depot. I'm Matt Harab on 1310 WOKR.
Need a new heating system? Let the Home Depot do it for you. Our licensed professionals will do the job right. And now get up to $1,600 via online rebate when you purchase and install a new heating and cooling system through the Home Depot. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT or visit homedepot.com/HVAC to get started. Valid on in-home sales between October 19th and November 15th and installations paid in full by December 15th. License numbers TACLA 1574C, TACLB 14980C, and 43960.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24 Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24 Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24 Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, talking to local business superstars and trying to engage you and help you learn and grow in the Rochester business community. Today I have a great guest. We're talking to Paulie Guglielmo. And he is not only a really great radio show personality with Brother Wee's and a lot of other stations here. His main thing is making sauce. And you may have seen him in some of the local stores around here. You may have eaten his sauce at restaurants, or you may have eaten it at U of R and RIT. But Guglielmo sauce. And so, Paul, we're talking about, you know, your first sale down in Gorham, which is so cool. I mean, there's nothing like that first sale. I mean, I remember, you know, when I left radio, I started a magazine. It was a local magazine at the time called Next Step Magazine, and the whole idea was to help high school students with college planning, and it was going to be free to the students, and I was going to have colleges advertise. Mm-hmm. And I remember I started calling colleges to advertise, and you know, they were like, yeah, we'll see you. And it's kind of like, wow, this might actually happen. And, you know, I remember like MCC said yes, and then RIT said yes, and then this Clarkson University up near Potsdam called me and said, oh yeah, we'll advertise only if you speak at our conference. And I'm like, oh my God, talk about, like, you know, what they call the imposter syndrome. And when you don't feel worthy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hung up the phone. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not worthy, but I'll speak at your, you know,
yep.
And they paid for my hotel room. And I remember being this 25-year-old kid in this nice hotel. It was like a Clarkson run hotel, and I'm like pinching myself. I'm like, this is happening. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, pretty crazy stuff. So,
yeah.
But it's just the joys of being an entrepreneur. There's highs and lows. And like you said, especially the first year making those sales calls, very, very difficult. So, but let's get our listeners hungry a little bit. So let's talk about your actual sauce. So did you start out with just one, like the traditional family sauce? And I know that you have some different ones now as well.
Yeah, so I started off with Grandpa's recipe. I started off making one flavor, and we made it in a vegetarian version and a non-vegetarian version. Any good Italian knows that Sunday sauce should have some meat in it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, in the marketplace, there are people who maybe they don't want meat in it, or they want to add it themselves. So we did two versions, and it was the same recipe, mm-hmm. with or without the meat. So that's how we started, and then I realized pretty early on, as we were really hustling, we were doing a lot of events, a lot of in-store demos and a lot of festivals, people kept asking me if we're going to do more flavors.
Yeah.
And it just, the customers really just guided me in that direction. And I mean, it couldn't have been more clear that the answer here. And plus, you know, another thing from a pure business standpoint is, so now I'm getting calls to replenish shelves around town. And, you know, they're ordering one case. So now I'm driving to, you know, Greece or something from the east side, or to the west side from the east side, either way. And I'm delivering one case of sauce. So now I'm starting to do the math in my head. And I'm like, is this worth my time to deliver this case of sauce?
The gas was your profit margin, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. So so it was a combination of, it just made sense to do more flavors because, you know, customers were asking for it. And suddenly, as we created more flavors, which I'll briefly try and tell you how we expanded. We did the Rosa sauce, and that was like people kept asking me for a vodka sauce. So that was a blush sauce, like a creamy, cheesy sauce. And so we wanted to do a vodka sauce. People kept asking for that. We knew that was the right way to go. Then we did a spicy, chunky veggie sauce. That was another one of my grandfather's recipes. He used to call that Chabot. Then we did Sunday sauce, which is meat, wine, and cheese sauce, because people kept telling me what they do in their sauce. So I started putting, I made a flavor based on customer recommendations, just put in all the ingredients people kept telling me I was missing. Mm-hmm. So we did one like that. Then I started doing seasonal sauces like pumpkin sauce and fresh tomato basil. And then we did a pizza sauce. So eventually we're up to like 9 different flavors. And from a business standpoint, what that did is that made those orders that were 1 or 2 cases, now they're 9 or 18 cases. So now when I am driving, you know, early on in the business then, or at least this is probably a good year into the business at this point, you know, instead of delivering a case of sauce or 2 cases, I'm delivering 9 or 18 cases. And so suddenly now we're starting to make some money on these deliveries. You know?
Yeah. Are you still doing deliveries, or you have a network of distribution now?
So we have a few distributors now, but not every local store takes distributors. So we do have a few stores we still service directly. And I have we've been lucky enough to hire a couple of people, and one of our hires is a delivery guy. So I have somebody who will deliver local to the local merchants and whatnot. But that's not to be said. I mean, I can't tell you, like, the last time I made a delivery was probably 2 weeks ago, because there's sometimes it's just got to be done, and I'm going to do it. If it's got to be done, you know, as an entrepreneur, I'm above nothing.
Yep.
So if they need their sauce by Wednesday, but my employee isn't available till Thursday, I'm delivering that sauce. So it's definitely something I'll still do from time to time.
Well, entrepreneurs will do whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what we, when I was running our national magazine, we had the DWIT Award. That was our monthly award that stood for doing whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Now, you remind me of, so when I first started my magazine, we printed 10,000 copies and we gave them free to local high schools. Now, this is in 95 and I was about 25. And, you know, I started my company because I had nothing to lose. I'm like, you know what? I'm not married, no kids, no house. I got a job in radio, could always get that back. I had a Geo Prism with 140,000 miles on it. I'm like, if I lose that, you know, I'll find a way to survive, right? But that was my delivery vehicle too. So I would, you know, I just back and forth, you know, going to the printer, getting, you know, a couple thousand magazines, weight down my car, drive to the high schools, drop it off. And then in 96, we expanded to Buffalo and Syracuse. And now we're like in 150 high schools. And I'm like, you know, all my, I rented a van. I got a little smart. I rented a van, driving all over the place for like a week delivering these magazines, you know. And then finally we went national and I said, all right, now it's, you know, finally time to use the United States Postal Service. And so that was it. But I would see guys like, you know, 15 years later at trade shows. And, you know, now we're, you know, we're in 20,000 high schools. We're in all 50 states. And I'd have some people that have, you know, advertised since the beginning. And they would come up to me like, oh, you think you're like Mr. Big Pants, you're Big Shot, huh? And I remember you when you were this little crap kid with this Geo Prism hucking the magazines. And I'm like,
yep.
I go, I remember that too. And, you know, it keeps me humble. But, you know, it's always good to go back to those first couple of years when, you know, and you always do it to some extent. But obviously the first couple of years, I mean, it's, you know, you're just doing whatever you need to do to make those beginning sales to get the flywheel turning. And it's a difficult time, but it's also a special time.
Yeah. You know, I saw it as like getting that sauce to actually sell through, getting people to actually purchase that sauce was the important thing. And I would maybe figure out ways to better adjust the profit margin as we grew. And so at the very beginning, you're right. It was just like just please, can people please just buy the sauce? And, yep. And I'll get around to making it.
What are some major stores, or, you know, if you want to name some stores that we can buy it at?
Well, number one, I got to say Wegmans. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big one around Rochester, so that's the big one.
Yeah.
And also Tops. And then, you know, in Rochester specifically, you know, lots of mom and pops. Almost every mom and pop carries our sauce at this point, as long as it's a locally owned place, for the most part. And then as you expand into Buffalo and in Syracuse, we're in Price Chopper, we're in Whole Foods. Okay. We're in some mom and pops also in both Buffalo and Syracuse. And at this point, that's about as far as we reach. We have a few stores here and there. And for the most part, that's stores that have contacted us. Like, we have a store in California, literally one store in California that sells our sauce. They contacted us. We weren't necessarily trying to expand to California.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're ready for that. You know, we're not really ready to get there yet from a real standpoint. But same thing with, like, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Ohio. There's a few stores here and there that sell it. But for the most part, that's them having contacted us and us, you know, not wanting to turn down any sale.
Yep.
Really, it's Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse. We're really concentrated on those three cities.
Well, you know what? There's enough people in upstate New York to make it work for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, I think there actually is. I mean, it's a sustainable thing even just between these three cities. You know, I remember just when we were really doing well in Rochester, I remember, and it was really before we had broken into Buffalo or Syracuse, I remember thinking to myself, I was like, wow, if Buffalo and Syracuse are anything like Rochester, this is actually – we could probably just – those three cities could be like a living, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sustained Wegmans for many, many years, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, yeah.
Quick question. So how do you stand out amongst the competition? Because, you know, that original curmudgeon-y guy, he had a point, right? There you go into Wegmans and Tops, and there's a lot of sauces, right? A lot of national sauces. And so, you know, what have you learned on how to stand out a little bit?
Well, it's a great question, man, because when we first started, man, oh man, I mean, even before we started, really, when I was just in the research phase, that was a wake up call to me. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, as an Italian, I had really never bought jarred sauce before.
Yeah.
So when I finally decided, let's do some market research on this thing, let's see if people will even like our sauce, I went to Wegmans and I stood in the grocery store sauce aisle and my eyes widened, you know, like saucers.
Right.
And I looked and I got scared because I went, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We can't do this. This is too crowded of a marketplace. This is impossible. We're in big trouble here. We won't make it. You know, I just thought, I was like, we can't make it. There's too much here.
Right.
So now here's the good news. Now, being a radio guy, I've also had the responsibility to make many commercials and brainstorm on many campaigns throughout the years. My wife works at Dixon Schwabel. She's in PR.
Mm-hmm.
Dixon Schwabel, I know you've mentioned them before.
Yep.
I know that you hold them in high regards.
Very much.
Yeah, they were one of the first things you mentioned in your TED talk. And I was like, that's awesome. It's where my wife works.
Yeah.
So, you know, between her and I, we were like, wait a minute, let's take a real shot at this. Let's pretend that our sauce company isn't ours, but a client of ours, and we're giving them advice. So we go back into Wegmans, we stand in the sauce aisle, and this is an exercise that we do. We say, let's look at all these products and see what is the message? What are they actually saying to us? If I look at that jar of sauce, what is it saying? And what we ended up finding out was that there were basically two messages between all the sauces. And this actually extends throughout most of a grocery store, if you think about what I'm about to say. Either every product on that shelf was saying, A, we are the best of this thing that you will ever try.
Right.
We're the best. Or it was, we're the cheapest. We're on sale. Buy us because we're 99 cents right now. Or 5 for $5, you know?
Right.
And so I'm looking at that and I'm going, wow, this is all bragging. It's all bragging. It's either bragging about being the best sauce you'll ever try or bragging about being the most affordable, or I'll just say cheapest sauce you'll ever try.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, we have this story about my grandpa and about growing up, and I'm an emotional eater. I always have been. And I thought to myself, I was like, well, I eat emotion. And I think Americans do. We're like the most obese country in the nation, right?
Yeah, very
so
emotional.
Like we eat emotion. Nobody here is doing anything to do with emotion. So what if we could create a sauce that looked sweet. It looked not sweet like to the taste, but sweet as in like, oh, that's adorable, you right. know?
Yeah.
And that was when the idea to make our sauce look like a children's book came out. We wanted the drawing on the front of the sauce to look like a children's book so that a mom who was picking out a sauce might look at it and say, oh, that's adorable, and then pick it up, look at the side, see the story of me and Grandpa, see my cell phone number, connect.
Yeah.
My cell phone number's on every jar. Wow. And maybe connect to it and say, I used to go to my grandma's house. I used to go to my grandpa's house. You yeah. know what I mean? And so that would be our connecting point. And I think we got lucky. I think we found a little – well, now I know we got lucky, but we found a little niche there with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we weren't going to say we were the best and we weren't going to be the cheapest. We were just going to be an emotional connection for people.
And really, Pauly, it goes back to you because you're adorable.
Thank you.
How many Italian grandmothers want to squeeze your cheeks? Come on.
Oh, Dave. Of course.
Hey, Paul, you know what? I could talk to you forever. I'm going to have you back on the show. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this show, but we do have to go. But if anybody does want to reach out to you, Paul, what is the best way?
Hey, I am not shy about giving out my cell phone number. 585-350-5788. Call me for any reason whatsoever, from the smallest to the biggest things. And then also, of course, you can find the sauce if you're listening in the upstate New York area. You can listen, or you can find it in any Wegmans store. And our website is googliamosauce.com. You can just type in Pauly sauce and it'll come up.
I love it. And little disclaimer with the cell phone, because you said anything. Just ladies, Paul is married. So I just want to get that out there, you know.
That's right. Right.
Ryan, you can thank me later. So, well, Pauly, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. I wish you massive continued success, and let's keep in good touch.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate it. This is a huge opportunity, and thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Truly appreciate it. And if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please send me an email, david@davidmamano.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day. And stay awesome.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.